Welcome to In Season, exploring farming and gardening in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm your host, Teresa Retzloff. Do you remember buying your first home and starting your first garden there? Gardener Jennifer Rasmussen has taken that adventure one step further, aspiring to turn the acre of land that she shares with her partner Danny into a microfarm that will feed themselves and a small portion of their community. It's a dream that many aspire to, and I was inspired by how Jen thoughtfully went about turning her dream into a reality. I want to note that I had hoped to travel to Jen's property to conduct our interview there and meet her baby chicks, but an incoming storm with hurricane-force winds predicted meant that we had to rapidly rethink our plan. Thanks to Street 14 Cafe and Astoria for lending us their private dining room as a sound studio on a moment's notice. Hopefully that explains the various kitchen noises you might hear in the background. I hope you enjoy the show. We are talking to Jennifer Rasmussen. She lives in Svensson with her partner Danny, and they have a small property that they moved on to in the last year or so. Jen's nodding at me. And I want to hear more about what she's doing out there, because I think what Jen and Danny are doing there is a lot of what I hear a lot of people wanting to do here, where they have a small property, they're building a big garden, they want to grow food for themselves, but also have enough left over to share and sell with their community. So welcome to In Season, Jen. And tell us a little bit about yourself, where you work, and where your property is.
Thank you for having me, Teresa. So I live out in Svensson. We have about 1 acre that we moved on to just over a year ago. I've been in the Astoria area for about 6 years, and currently I'm working at Clatsop Community College as a college and career advisor in the middle schools and high schools. And in my spare time, I like to work on the farm.
And this is your farm.
My farm.
It's a small farm. I know you have a long history in gardening, too, because you were very active in community gardens for a while, too, weren't you?
Yes, that's right. Yep. Maybe 4 years ago, I think, I took the Master Gardeners class through OCU Extension and got involved with the community gardens through them. And so I have done a lot of gardening and was a garden educator for a while, but finally got our own land. So now it's time to start on my own big projects.
So what's your vision for this property? And do you have a name for your farm? Tell us that.
Okay, so the name of our farm is Endless Acre Farm, which came about because after we moved out there, it's exactly 1 acre, the piece of property, and it just felt like there was so much potential out there. Like, we could just, the opportunities were endless. So that's how we came up with the name. And so our vision is a lot like what you were saying, somewhere between a big garden and a small farm. It feels a little scary still to call it a farm because we don't take ourselves quite that seriously yet. But we want to grow enough food for ourselves and then to have like basically a small CSA where we can provide food for maybe 5 other families or something like that. And we're focusing mostly on veggies. We do have quite a few berry bushes, too, raspberries and blueberries mostly. And we have chickens, so we get quite a few eggs these days. And we also have a hive of bees and plan on increasing our beehive numbers so that we can have some honey production as well.
You know, I'm always curious about when people move onto a new property, what they discover there. I mean, sometimes people move to a place and it's just entirely bare ground. Maybe that's the first house that's ever been grown, the garden that's been grown around that house. But your house is older, and so there was an established garden already there. How are you adapting what was there, and what have you discovered that was there that maybe you didn't know was there when you moved in?
All right, so the vast majority of our property is just grass at this point. Most of it's just yard. There was a small part of it, maybe like 15 by 20 feet, that was kind of an established garden that was fenced. And when we moved in, it was mostly just overgrown raspberries that had kind of taken control, which we saved.
That's not a bad problem,
though. No, we got about 10 gallons of raspberries off of the plants last year. So that was a really nice thing to move into. But they, you couldn't really, there were no rows or anything. They weren't really that accessible. So we hacked back a bunch of the raspberries at the beginning of the year and made that area more accessible and cleared down a portion of it so that we could have a few veggies the first year. Because one of the projects that we did last summer was put up a big fence around the majority of the property to keep elk out so that we can use the whole area for growing. But last year all we had was that small garden area. So we started clearing that out. And we found, the lady who owned the house before us really did a nice job with, landscaping. So there's really a lot of, we have crocuses and daffodils up right now and rhododendrons and a lot of, beautiful landscaping around the property, but not a lot of other food. There was the best surprise was in the backside, the shady north side of the house somehow has this miraculous rhubarb plant.
Whoa.
That just does amazingly well. So that was pretty exciting to find that rhubarb.
And did you get a lot off it last year?
Enough for a couple of pies.
That's pretty satisfying.
Yes, it was.
So what are you working on now? I mean, are you trying to establish beds? Or what kind of things are you looking to plant in your first year? Because that's a lot of it is just getting a garden established. You know, whether it's just for yourselves or something that you hope to be commercial, it's a lot of work. What's your focus?
Right. We have probably too many focuses, but we are working on starting some new beds and expanding the growing area. We just recently planted a whole bunch of fruit trees, maybe about a dozen, apple and pear, one quince tree that we're excited
nice.
To see how that does, a couple fig trees. So we're trying to think about the long term, putting in those things that take a really long time. We started our asparagus last year because that takes a little while to get established, and those fruit trees that take a really long time. But yeah, we're gonna maybe triple the amount of growing space that we had from last year. We also put up a greenhouse last summer, and so we have a really nice area now for starting seeds and for growing maybe some tomatoes and peppers and stuff that like the warmer weather.
So I know I've known you for quite a while now, and I've known that this has been a vision of yours for a number of years. And a number of years ago, you took part in a program called IDA, an Individual Development Account, and this was something offered through Food Roots down in Tillamook. And I kind of want you to tell people a little bit about what that program is, because I think it's very cool, and I know that it definitely has helped you get started. So tell us a little bit about that and how that helped you.
Definitely, yeah. The IDA is such an amazing program. It is a federal grant program that Food Roots is a part of, and its focus is on helping low-income individuals save money. So nationwide, there's different programs. There's some for starting a new business or for buying a first house or going back to school, improving your education. But so this one is for, the one that Food Roots offers is for food-related businesses. And you have to be under a certain income level to qualify for the program initially. And you can save for up to 3 years and up to $1,000 a year. And then the program matches your money 3-to-1. And so overall, I ended up saving $3,000. It was just under $100 a month that I saved. And in the end, I had $12,000 that I got to spend on starting up this business. Which was just, I mean, we wouldn't have anything started now if we didn't have that money. So it made a huge, huge difference for us. So with that money, our biggest purchases were the elk fence that we put up around the property and the greenhouse. And then we just got tons of miscellaneous supplies like tools and the fruit trees we got with the IDA money and... trying to think what else we got.
Did you have to state specifically what you were going to use the money for before you signed up for the program, or could that evolve throughout the course of, because it was 3 years that you were doing this, right?
Yeah, it's over the course of 3 years, and they ask you to, when you apply for the program, they have you submit kind of a plan for what you want to do. And when I started the program originally, I thought that in my plan, I submitted that I was going to use that money as a down payment on land. But we ended up being able to purchase a home with some land. Without the IDEA money, we got it about a year, or a little while before I graduated from the IDEA program. And so we were able to use that money instead for purchasing equipment and stuff for the farm. And so the IDEA program's cool because it lets you kind of switch gears if you change your mind, because they understand that 3 years is a long time and that people's life plans change and all of that. So I just had to resubmit some paperwork showing that I had a new plan now. And another part of the program that I forgot to mention is that they have required financial education programs. So I had to take these online courses to learn about saving money and how to run a business. And they give you free advising with the Small Business Development Center. So I got to meet with a business counselor a few times, and he helped me write a business plan, which I also had to submit in order to get the money from the IDEA. So I had a whole business plan. I have a whole business plan written, which says that I'm starting a CSA this year, which probably isn't going to happen because then I got pregnant and life changed. So
things like that happen. They really do. I know. And congratulations.
Thank you.
So in addition to the impending new member of your family, yeah. You also have new members of your flock.
Yes.
You were telling me about the baby chicks that you have going. And mm-hmm. did you have chickens last year? And are the chickens for eggs? Are they for meat? Tell us about your chickens.
All right. So we have 6 adult lady chickens and 6 baby lady chickens. And so we have, we got some last spring, and they have been laying really consistently now. They're all egg-laying chickens. We're not doing any meat birds. And then just last week, we got 6 new baby chicks from Naomi's Organic Farm Store in Portland, which is a really sweet little organic farm supply store. But we got a bunch of new breeds this year that we're really excited about.
Are they ones that lay colorful eggs? Like, what was the appeal of the different breeds to you?
Yeah, partly that they lay different colored eggs, and partly that they are different colored chickens so that we can keep telling them apart because they all have names. So it's
dangerous. It's dangerous to name your chickens.
I know. But so all the chickens that we got last year were mostly in the brownish colors, and most of the ones we got this year are more black and white. So it'll be fun to see them all together now.
Did you build a coop for them, or was there a coop on the property there?
We built a coop, which was the first thing that either Danny and I had ever built, like an actual structure. And we are, every day when we see it, we still feel so proud that it's still standing. We had to replace the roof after the first week because we realized we had installed it incorrectly. But since then, it's been pretty worry-free. So it was a really fun project figuring out how to put that together.
We're going to take a break now to remind you that you're listening to Coast Community Radio on KMUN 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook on 89.5 FM. We're streaming live at coastradio.org. If you're just joining us for In Season this week, we're talking with aspiring market gardener Jennifer Rasmussen about how she and her partner Danny bought an acre in Svensson and are transforming it into the North Coast's newest micro farm. Now that you've been on your property for a year, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that you've had in this first year? Maybe some of the unexpected challenges that you've had, and maybe what are some of the successes that you feel like you've had so far?
Okay. Some of the challenges are moles and slugs, definitely the pests, and deer for sure. The first year, they just get into everything. But we've had a lot of moles. We got some of those sonic sticks that you stick in the ground, and they emit this beep every 30 seconds or something, and they scare the moles away. And those have been working pretty well, but we think we need to get more because we have more land that we're growing on this year. And what of What other struggles have we had? We haven't, I mean, everything that we tried growing last year, I feel like did really well. We had huge success with our kale, our leeks. We did fennel that did really well, cabbages. I guess one of the things we learned last year is that we planted all of our cabbages at the same time and then had like 10 cabbages that were all ready in the same week, and we just had nothing to do. We didn't want all of those cabbages that week. So this year we're planning better and spacing them out. We'll plant a couple cabbages every 2 weeks or so that we get better crop production and can handle it all. We ended up making a lot of sauerkraut, which turned out delicious, but I like fresh cabbage, too.
Maybe not what your vision was for your harvest.
Not at all. Same thing with the broccoli. Space out your broccoli plantings.
So, I mean, these are things that you learn as you go because you have these mistakes that happen or challenges that happen. I'm just curious to go back, and where did you learn how to garden? I mean, was it through the Master Gardener program, or did you garden as a child growing up?
No, we never had a garden when I was growing up. The first time I really started thinking about gardening was I had a friend who had woofed in Europe. Woofing, if you don't know, it's WWOOF. It stands for Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms, and it's this international organization where you can volunteer on farms, and the farmers provide you with like room and board generally, and then you work a certain number of hours on their farm every week. It's a really sweet deal and a really good way to travel. And so I had a friend who had told me about that, and I was looking to get out of the country for a little while, and so I went down to Argentina and signed up with the woofing program there and stayed on 3 different farms for about a month each, and just like really learned a lot about farming down there, and then came back, and that's when I signed up for the Master Gardeners program, because I thought, this is awesome, farmers are really rad, that's the lifestyle I want, like I'm going for it. So I was like, I'm gonna get some real education, took the Master Gardeners class, which was awesome. They give you just like all the basic fundamental knowledge that you need, and that got me started, so, and gave me the confidence to think that I knew enough about starting things, or like had the resources to know where to look if I still had more questions about how to do things. But every year is definitely going to be a learning experience. I'm like a little terrified still to to start as big as we are this year. I'm not sure exactly what we're getting ourselves into.
So you are, you know, part of a partnership with your partner Danny. Is he part of this as well? I mean, is he a gardener as well, or are you kind of doing this on your own? Because that can sometimes be a challenge too for a couple that are starting an enterprise like this. You know, is he the one that's in charge of digging all the holes and putting up the fences? Sometimes that happens. I know we joke a lot about things like that. So talk about that partnership and how does that work?
Sure, yeah. He definitely digs a lot of holes. When we put our fruit trees in, he dug every one of those holes. Yeah, he's been awesome at the manual labor, and he is a really quick learner, and so I've been able to show him a lot of things, like, this is a weed, this is a carrot, like, don't, like, this is the one you pick. and so he's been awesome helping in the garden, but where he really excels is in food preservation. He has a real passion for canning, and he's been making wine this year, so
Whoa.
We have maybe 13 or 14 gallons of wine started, made from like the raspberries, from plums, from blackberries. He tried some summer squash wine that hasn't finished fermenting yet. Well, there was a recipe for it in the wine book, and we had a ton of summer squash, as you always do. So we thought we'd give it a try. We haven't been able to taste that one yet because it's not quite done fermenting, but we're anxious to try it.
I would say brave to try it,
yeah.
but you know what? I'm going to keep an open mind because it could be amazing. It's fascinating the things that you can make wine from.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And he's just tried the whole gambit of different wine options this year. So, and the ones that we have tasted have turned out very, very delicious. So we're pretty excited about that. I don't know about the legalities of offering something like that in our CSA boxes. We might
I would imagine the OLCC would have some things to say about that.
Maybe but just for private dinner parties.
There you go.
That seems safest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so far the partnership is working out good, and you're both finding time to do it.
Definitely. Yep. And he knows, the other thing he's been really cool is he works at the Astoria Co-op grocery store in the produce department. And so there have been a few times when I was kind of looking through seed catalogs and stuff this year and wasn't that familiar with different varieties or, like, not sure about what kind of veggies we wanted to grow. And he had a lot of good input for us there, like, oh, this kind of stuff sells really well. Like, that doesn't store very long. This is a really good variety. So that's been fun, too.
That's helpful. And you've got seeds started now, you were saying. And so what are your ambitions for this year? Given that you are, I think, currently 6 months pregnant, I think is what you told me. So in 3 months from now, right about the time that the season is really kicking in, you're going to have some other stuff kicking in, too. So talk about your plans for that. How are you going to cope with that?
Yeah, when we worked on our business plan, I had originally had this, like, really ambitious plan for how we were going to, like, get started with the CSA this year and really go all out. But with the pregnancy, we have definitely scaled back quite a bit from what we were thinking we would do, just because I don't think I can spend that much time in the garden when I have a baby. I mean, I'm sure I can still spend some time out there, but that's not necessarily where I want to focus my attention this summer. So we are planning to grow enough to mm-hmm. eat, you know, but we're not going to start a CSA this year. So right now I have maybe 2 flats of seeds started. A lot of, like, I did my tomatoes and peppers, got those started, and broccoli and cabbage, some sunflower seeds. For fun. And a bunch of greens. I have a lot of greens started.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think? I mean, I know that it's interesting that you're about to have a child, and I know that you've worked a lot gardening with kids. Mm-hmm. So what have you learned about engaging with kids in the garden? Because I think that's a really interesting thing for a lot of, you know, parents might be passionate about gardening, but how do you also get your kids enthusiastic about gardening too? So what are some of your ideas, strategies for going ahead?
Yeah, you know, I never found much trouble getting kids to want to play in the garden because they get to get all dirty and they get to find cool worms. Maybe there's, like, a scary spider once in a while, but for the most part, I think kids that I've encountered have always been really enthusiastic about planting seeds and kind of nurturing them and watching them grow. That's a pretty exciting process. The thing that I think is really cool about working with kids in the garden is that it opens them up to new ideas and experiences with different healthier fruits and vegetables. Kids are way more likely to eat the foods that they've grown. I used to work in the elementary schools, and we'd grow radishes because they're so easy and they grow really quickly, so you can do a good lesson plan with them. And radishes are not everybody's cup of tea. They're a little spicy. They kind of have, like, a dirty taste to them sometimes. But, man, every kid who planted a radish seed wanted to try that radish and took bites, and most of them really enjoyed it. So that's pretty cool. I don't think that would happen if you just brought in radishes from the grocery store to try to share.
Do you think that I just think about trying to connect kids too with where food comes from and like the diversity of foods that are out there to eat. Do you think that helps from exposing them from a very young age?
Yeah, they say that, what is it, something like it takes 7 exposures to a new food for a kid to like it. I've been doing a lot of research on this, having my own kid now. I listened to this great podcast the other day called Gastropod, which is all about food and food science and food history kind of stuff. But they did a whole show on how what you eat when you're pregnant affects what your child is more inclined to eat. And how early you start them and what types of foods you start them on as infants can affect, like, what they like to eat later on in life. And so I've been really trying hard to eat all of my veggies. Not that that's, I mean, I love vegetables anyways. That's what I tend to eat the most of. But just, like, really thinking about eating a variety of vegetables and trying to expose the little fetus in my belly to lots of different flavors. And then, like, giving them real foods like that, like giving your kids broccoli and carrots and all the good veggies. So
I think that what you and Danny, I mean, I'm so excited for what you guys are doing, and it makes me really happy to see more people in our region taking on these kinds of projects, you know, on a small scale, on a larger scale. But what would you say, because you are living the dream, like what a lot of people have dreamed of, and what advice would you give to people who are starting out, maybe they don't have a property right now, they want to do what you're doing? What were some things that you learned along the way that have helped you, or lessons learned, that kind of stuff?
Sure. Finding the piece of property that we did really took a long time. We were house hunting for probably a year and a half until we found the place. And I'm really glad that we waited as long as we did, because we went and saw lots of different properties that maybe weren't as sunny as the one that we ended up with, or were maybe like kind of marshier than the one that we ended up with. And so it was hard for me to not jump on some of the houses that we had looked at and pieces of land that we looked at earlier on. But learning that patience, Danny's really methodical about all of this. So he really takes decisions seriously, and he really pushed us to like wait until we found the right one. And when we did find this piece of property, it was exactly what we were looking for. So, and we knew it right away. So be patient in your search, but search diligently.
And were you looking for certain key things in a garden space? What were you looking for?
Sun mostly, and fairly flat land, something that wasn't forested. Like, we didn't want to have to rip down a bunch of stuff before we could start new, because we just don't really have those kinds of skills. But I know how to tear up grass and start a garden from a yard. So those were skills that I had, and we kind of knew that those were our boundaries. And we knew we didn't want too much land either. An acre seemed like really manageable. I try to walk around the perimeter of our property every day, and it only takes a few minutes, but and that's like just perfect for me. So I feel like I can always kind of have an eye on what's going on. I notice if there's like new mole holes somewhere, or get to notice all the new flowers when they bloom, and get to really experience everything that's going on the land.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of In Season on Coast Community Radio. Many thanks to my guest Jennifer Rasmussen for sharing her story about the start of her garden at Endless Acre Farm with us. If you'd like more information about the IDA program that helped Jen to save up for her food business, please contact Food Roots in Tillamook at 503-815-2800 or foodrootsnw.org. Thanks also to Street 14 Cafe in Astoria for letting us use their private dining room as a recording studio on a moment's notice. Any sound glitches in this program are due to the sad absence of our sound engineer, Katie Claiborne, who is out touring the East Coast as one of the members of Blind Pilot. I wish them all much success on the road, but honestly, I can't wait for her to get home. Thanks.